Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clap, 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 clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Shore Parks and Kyle Newbeck. Here they come.
Nick Nurse, outside of James Harden. What do you think fans, like, what were you just being around him? What were your other takeaways? The way he commanded the press conference in person, any maybe interaction you had with him. What are some other thoughts you had from his introductory press conference?
I mean, it was good. I mean, he didn't nail himself down to anything. And so I think there's going to be some real mystery to what they're going to do until we get into training camp, preseason, and kind of see what they have. I asked him specifically about, and this we kind of build off the Harden stuff, about Tyrese Maxey, because for two reasons. One, regardless of if Harden leaves or not, his development is essentially the biggest or most obvious path they have to internal improvement, right? Like at his age and his skill set, the biggest jump they can probably get is if he just turns into an all-star. Right. And he's the guy who's got the clearest path to do so. Two, if Harden leaves, he then becomes, you know, barring free agency and trades and what have you, and they shift around the roster, he then becomes your primary ball handler. And he's the guy who has to run the offense, and he becomes the late game ball handler, playing off of Joel Embiid and doing all that kind of stuff. And so I thought it was very interesting. And I 100% agree with his take. Nurse's assessment of where he needs to go next as a player was primarily about he's got to be more of a playmaker for others. Like he's got to be a creator for others. And that's something you and I have talked about a lot on this podcast, that we know that Tyrese can score. He can be a second side player. And I think in a Nick Nurse style offense where his philosophy is move the ball, share the ball, play with speed, swing it around the floor, relocate. I think he's perfectly suited for that style of play, right? But if you're running pick and rolls and doing the rest of the stuff, and he's the primary guy rather than playing off of James Harden, then there's a lot more pressure on him to make certain reads and make certain passes and, you know, evolve that part of his game. And so I thought it was, you know, it's great that he's coming in knowing that that's something that Tyrese needs to do to hit the next level. And there already seems to be sort of an organizational understanding of this is where we need to get this guy. Because look, I mean, he's coming in from the outside. He's obviously seen Tyrese a lot. They've played in the playoffs.
Yep.
They're a divisional rival, so they see each other four times a year. But he's not been with him every day. And so he might have a different perception of him than we do. And so I do think that speaks to him and Daryl are already kind of aligned on this is what we need to do to make the next step. And I thought that was a really good sign for them with him coming in.
So I did think he sounded very invested in Tyrese, which is really good. I did, you know, having covered a lot of new head coach press conferences, it would have been very easy to go, hey, I've played against Tyrese. He's a great player. I just got here. You know, I'll have to watch the tape and see what I think. He had a very clear plan and was willing to share that on what he thought Tyrese needed to work on. And you're right. Part of that is from his time playing against him. But to me, that answer really sounded as if he had studied Tyrese and said, this is where I believe he can go to the next level. And he's not going to sit up there and go, hey, he's a trade chip. Who knows what happens?
Right.
But Tyrese is there kind of one big piece if they want to push that in to get a legitimate, you know, a Dame Lillard, for example, someone along those lines. So to me, it didn't sound like there was any plan to trade this guy. It sounded like he legitimately says, this is what he's good at. This is what he can get better at. And I think your point that you made to him, and he seemed to agree with, was he is their best chance to take a step forward next year without making any type of major chemistry changing moves. Because the other thing he said that really caught my attention was I believe he was asked how it's hard to win the first year as a head coach or something like that. And Daryl made a bad joke that made the press conference awkward. But outside of that, like he said something about continuity on the floor. And he said, we're going to have the same guys. And, you know, I don't think he's talking about the fact he knew Daniel House was going to pick up his player option. He's talking about.
Are you sure? I don't know, man. That's the franchise.
Yeah, that was this big secret from yesterday. But I do think he's talking about Joel, Maxey, and, you know, probably Harden, because I don't think he's including Toby. So in these press conferences, they're never going to give flat out what their plan is. But reading between the lines, to me, it doesn't sound like they plan on trading Tyrese. It sounds like they are very invested in making him a step up. And to your point, the creating. So yeah, I thought his Tyrese answer was very revealing and probably the best answer he gave in terms of a little insight into what he thinks as a head coach.
Well, you know, good question asked.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
So I also, because you brought up the continuity thing, I thought one really interesting part of that press conference came when I think it was actually based on that same question, that he said this problem that they have or this situation that he's walking into in Philadelphia, not dissimilar from when he took over in Toronto, right? Where the team shifted, where they traded DeRozan for Kawhi, well, DeRozan and other stuff for Kawhi. So that was a big differentiator. But when he took over in 2018-19, that was a Raptors team that had been, you know, perennial playoff team, yep, hovering around that 50 win mark and couldn't get it done in the playoffs. Now they lost to LeBron over and over again. So I'm not so sure it's the same as Trae Young in game seven against Trae Young and the Hawks or the Celtics or getting beat by Miami last year, like slightly different circumstances. Yeah. But he said, because of those similarities, like the first thing they have to do is just confront that and say, this is what it is. We have not been good enough when it matters. And like, this is our reality. We can't say, oh, we have this excuse, this excuse, this excuse. We have to sit down and look ourselves in the mirror and say, this is who we've been. And until we can like sit with that truth, we're not going to be able to take a step forward. And so I think, you know, you go from, look, I don't want to talk bad on Doc. You and I have talked a lot about Doc.
Yeah,
and
I have a Doc question for you, actually. Yeah, we got.
But he is historically a little bit of an excuse maker. And for Nurse to come in and essentially say, like, this is who we are. And we have to say, we're going to get better than that. And there's no reason for us to run away from confronting the fact that we haven't been good enough in the second round to win. I think that's a really important thing for him to come in and just say, look, this has been bullshit. We haven't been good enough. We haven't been flexible enough. The tactics haven't been good enough. The star players haven't been good enough. And this is how I'm going to get us there, by XYZ, through buy-in, through in the huddle adjustments, whatever it is. I think that's a really important part of his message.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.